Okay, we just turned the tape over. Go ahead. You moved from a storage area.
From the little building to the new building and started operating everything from there. Then we when the dad started talking about moving down there, that's in 1935. My brother and I, we fought it tooth and nails. We were partners, but he was still the boss.
Yeah.
We said, look, Dad, when he first started talking, this is about 1933, 32 maybe, we said, look, people are not going to walk clear from Orchard Heights, clear down there, pay for a ton of coal or buy an ice book or do something. And he said, hell's fire. He said, in 5 years, nobody's going to be walking.
Yeah, that's true.
It sure.
So he could foresee transportation then.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and it was, we had our own parking. He was a great believer in parking.
Uh-huh.
That people would go, regardless where you had your business or building, if you had the parking.
Yep.
But I can, I said, we won't get enough business on the north side because people walking back and forth. That's what he said. Hell, in 5 years' time, then nobody going to be walking.
Were you ever involved in actually cutting ice out of the mill pond? Did you ever do that?
No.
Never did.
No.
Okay. I imagine that was rough work.
I know. Russell Banks, God bless his soul, he run a dairy, milk delivery up in Novi.
Yeah.
And he found out that we had this old equipment.
Yeah.
And so he came down to get the saws, and he said, well, where's the other handle? And I said, oh, geez, here, Russ. Well, he said, the reason there's no handle on both ends of this saw is that there's a guy underneath the ice that keeps pulling the saw back and forth, and he puts it on after he gets down there. Yeah.
That had to be rough work, you know, cutting that ice out in that cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
You know. That had to be tough work. Now, besides the building that's down there by the unfinished furniture place, you must have had some kind of storage yard someplace for your coal.
I was down on the railroad track.
Okay, so you had a railroad siding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And where was that located?
Almost up to the Grizzle Street Bridge.
Okay.
Oh, that's over the railroad tracks.
Right.
Clear up there at the end of the road, actually.
Yeah, okay.
There was quite a facility there, at least we thought it was.
Yeah.
But we had a, of course, the coal business is actually my first love.
Yeah. Well, that was what you were in before you went into the oil and the ice business.
Oh, yes.
All right.
And I know I wound up 2 or 3 years there when got down to about 18, 20 cars of coal a year.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of contracts. We hauled all the coal out to St. John's Seminary.
Yeah.
From the time it started until it quit.
Yeah.
And Spar's Meat House.
Uh-huh.
It was Twin Pines. It took an old Albert Holmes that started that dairy. up there where Zadie's trucking company is.
Yeah.
At Peck and 8 Mile Road. Was taking 50 pounds of ice every other day. But he wasn't buying any coal from us. And I kept bugging him. And my dad didn't give me too much encouragement. He said, Albert Holmes, that's just a wild dream of his. He won't be in business very long. But that very well could be. But while he was there in business, I wanted to sell him coal.
Sure.
So finally, one day I said, Mr. Holmes, I'm a little getting through here a little early. I'm going down and bring you up some coal just to try it.
Yeah.
I said, that coal that you're buying is a beautiful piece of coal, but you're not interested in it lasting. All you want is steam.
Right.
And I've got the product.
Right.
So I went down and got him 700-800 pounds of coal, threw it on the pile. Well, he wasn't stupid, and he could tell that that was a better piece of coal for his purpose.
Right.
And he wound up there before they moved into Detroit, taking the carload of coal every 40 days.
Okay, now, was he the fellow that started Twin Pines?
That's right.
And what was his name again?
Albert Holmes.
Albert Holmes. Okay, founded Twin Pines Dairy.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And they would use the steam to process the milk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know nothing about producing milk,
yeah.
But it
yeah.
takes steam.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now where'd you get your coal from?
Well, it was Kentucky.
Yeah.
That was the... Just a minute, I got from Pocahontas from West Virginia, Kentucky for high volatile coal. Anthracite would be from Pennsylvania, is it?
Yeah, Pennsylvania, right.
Coke from either Ford or Wyandotte on Zug Island.
Yeah.
Each piece of that coal had a purpose.
Yeah, so that you'd have some for residential. That would be one type of
well,
coal.
Well, primarily that was all there was.
Yeah.
Was in for homes. And then we promoted the industrial as
yeah.
fast as it came in.
Well, let's take the Ford plant, the old Ford Dow
yeah.
plant. Was that a coal burning plant?
No, never was.
Never burning coal?
No.
Okay.
And that's an interesting thing. That was built in about 1935 or 36. That present building is down there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything came to a halt in the front end. A big part of the front of that building was left open. Now I'm going to say it was, see, Porth was the cement end of it. W.E. Woods was in there somewhere or other. And here for a month or so, the building, just everything came to a screeching halt.
Hmm.
The front of the building was open.
Yeah.
Well, what found out that wonderful thing of the Ford Motor Company, somebody forgot to include a heating system, a chimney, or the boilers. So all of a sudden they're all ready to put them in and no provision had been made for them. The fellow, the prime contractor, he got paid as to each segment of the building completed.
Right.
The building wasn't completed, so he didn't get paid. And he wants his money.
Sure.
Ford Motor Company says, well, you haven't completed.
Yeah.
Well, he says, okay, I'll complete it.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah.
3 days later, They ripped it all out because the boulders had come in.
Gee whiz. Gosh. Somebody goofed.
It sure as hell did. And that water wheel, that was all installed around in back.
Yeah. Oh, it was in a different location than it is now, then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Old Henry came out, he said, well, that's no good. Nobody can see it back there.
Yeah.
So they moved it around the front, and of course, a small problem of getting water to it, so that was no problem, because it could pump the water up there to run that. Is it an undershot or overshot? It's an overshot wheel.
I think you're right, yes, because the water is coming down this way. Yeah, it's an overshot wheel.
And but the water has to be pumped to it.
Yeah.
Now, it actually produced enough electricity to run that light bulb there.
Yeah. So they did produce power through water to operate their plant then.
For that one light bulb.
One light bulb?
That's all.
That's all?
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
But he wanted that water wheel where people could see it.
See it, yeah. Okay, well, we've talked about a variety of things here. We talked about how the family happened to come to Norville and the kinds of business your dad was in, and then you went into the coal and ice business, working for him. And eventually, fuel oil was added because coal was declining in popularity as oil burning furnaces were put into houses. And now, what's the primary business today?
Fuel oil.
Primary fuel oil.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And my brother and I enjoyed a 7 million gallon a year oil business. Clancy now is down to 1 million gallons.
Yeah.
But he's making more money on 1 million gallons than we ever did on 7 million.
Hmm. Any other product at all, or strictly fuel oil?
Mobile, which we've always been. Oh, and incidentally, when we got into the fuel oil business, that was something new in the oil business.
Right.
Standard Oil, Mobil, Shell, Gulf. They had what you call a local agent.
Yeah.
They furnished the tanks, they took care of the billing, the fellow that owned it or run the business, all he was just kind of a commissioned agent.
Yeah.
Well, here we come along. We owned all our own equipment. Took care of the billing. We did everything.
So in effect, you were independent then.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was something new.
Yeah.
And I know Mobil came out one day, a couple of big shots, they was talking, and all of a sudden my dad said, I didn't realize just how the conversation was going.
Yeah.
But he says, you mean on the door we'll say C.R. Elian, son's local agents. I think they want him to sign a contract.
Yeah.
Well, my dad said, hell's fire, I've been in the coal business for 30 years, I never had any contract.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll tell you, fellas, right now, you told me it took you about an hour to get out here. He said, why don't you take the next hour and get the hell back down to Detroit? Because I'm telling you right now that as long as you're product price is what I want it to be, I'll continue buying from you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll just buy from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that took care of the contract.
Right there. And right to this day, we've never had a contract in Louisville.
Yeah.
And I think Plant Advice, about 75%,
yeah,
from Louisville.
Yeah.
And he said, just to keep you honest, but the Mobile, they do not want to monkey around with little barrel stuff.
Yeah.
Or little canned stuff.
Yeah.
And they call up Clancy one day and ask him if he'd like that business. He said, sure. And it's a big part of his business right today.
Okay, now explain what you mean by that.
There's a lot of people that just want a barrel,
okay,
of oil.
Okay.
And Mobile wants no part of that.
Okay.
His order to maintain the status, he buys about $2,000 a week,
yeah,
of various and sundry products that,
yeah,
Mobile makes.
Yeah.
If you've noticed on a lot of your little machinery, they recommend a certain type of oil and,
right,
weight, one thing or another.
Right.
Well, that's, Mobile does, well, they all do it as far as that goes, but really Mobile is more aggressive,
right,
than a lot of the companies. And it's a big part of his business. You know, like, he delivers about 20 barrels of some type of oil to the city of Detroit every month.
Huh?
Mobile calls that little piddling stuff.
They don't want to fool with it.
They don't want to fool with it.
Yeah. Get into the kerosene business also?
No.
No kerosene.
They're just, he tried that for years.
Yeah.
We tried to sell kerosene and did.
Yeah.
But there's so little use to all that.
Yeah, so it's just not worth fooling with.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I know Zantok Airlines.
Yes.
Up in Alaska there someplace.
Yeah.
They buy a little 5-gallon pail of some kind of oil. That little pail of oil costs over $200. It is delivered over to Medi-Call Airlines over here to Plymouth.
Yeah.
And somebody picks it up.
And they fly it up to Alaska?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, some kind of grease or oil that's,
yeah,
that they require for that part of the country.
Now, that's unusual. You'd think that they would find a source closer to the West Coast than buying it from the state of Michigan, so.
And, I know I was down there answering the phone one day, and a company from Canada, from Windsor.
Yeah.
And they had called Mobile in Detroit here, and Mobile turned them over to Ely's.
Yeah.
And there was some discussion on sales tax. He said, Do I have to pay sales tax? Well, actually, I didn't know. And then all of a sudden, I said, I don't think the state of Michigan cares who buys this or where it goes.
Yeah.
But they want sales tax.
Right. Even though it's Canadian.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I was with Pisces last fall. Where is that ski outfit up Highland Lake? No.
Highland Hills.
Off up, clear off here someplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all those blowers that blows that snow.
Yeah. Snowmakers.
Snowmakers.
Yeah.
And they blow that, and it's a fire hose.
Yeah.
They produce this synthetic snow, I'd call it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
All over that damn thing.
Okay, now what do they use for fuel for their snowmakers?
Well, I know they use about a barrel of oil a week.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is the primary... I don't know as I know.
Yeah, okay, but they do use oil in the process of making it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know... It's off up there on the other side of Plymouth, or...
There are a lot of little... there's a lot of little... ski places, downhill skiing places up, you know, or Clarkston in that area.
It's awful, but there someplace.
Yeah.
But, oh, that's the biggest piece of machinery that I ever saw. And noisy, holy crap.
Yeah, I bet.
And, but if you can visualize a 4-inch hose, and something's got to produce power to blow that stuff all over that damn...
Yeah, the pressure, sure. Sure.
So, as I say, that's a big part of his business.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now does he have children?
No children.
No children.
Oh, that's a crying shame.
So what happens to the family business then? Who knows, huh?
That's right.
Who knows? Okay, let's turn this off for a moment. And okay, we've been talking for quite some time now, just while the tape was off, and Mr. Lee just made a comment that I think is worth putting on tape. And what he said was, Norco's been awful good to us. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Not really, just to the extent that Norfield has been awful, awful good to me and my family. We've tried to do a good job. I don't know of anything that I'm ashamed that we've ever done. In fact, I'm quite proud of it. But there's a lot of things that Pedal and Ice, I know one time in particular, the Pedal and Ice to well, I always had a lot of girlfriends, but this time in particular, a woman was married, raising a family, and she's kind of bent over the washing machine or doing something, and her husband came home and gave her a little love pat. That's a new whistle.
Yeah, right.
Gave her a little love pat. She said, 50 pounds, Chuck. Well, God, it went right down to turbos and bought a mechanical refrigerator.
Oh, my.
I was thinking about another time. I delivered some coal, and, one of my old girlfriends, because I didn't have any enemies that I know of.
Yeah.
And here's a little baby, and I walk in and figured out getting a cup of coffee. And by golly, for the life of me, I don't remember who this was. But here's this little baby crying a little bit.
Yeah.
And of course, I had a family by that time. And the baby's diapers were wet. So I changed the little girl's diaper.
Yeah.
Long about 20 years later, mother and the daughter came at the store and something happened. She said, oh, don't bother him. He said he didn't change your diapers. But that was my recollection of Norfolk.
Yeah.
And down in Sarasota, Bradenton, when they have the Norfolk reunion, there's close to 100 people come. And I'll see more people down there than I ever do in Northville.
Okay, so a lot of them have moved down and stayed close together then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. And you do have a place in Florida then?
Got a little tin house.
Yeah.
South of Fort Myers.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's great to keep up those friendships.
Oh, yeah.
and have these reunions, and yeah, that's great. Well, I certainly appreciate this interview, and what we're going to do is, as I mentioned to you before, we'll have this tape reproduced. I'll bring it back so you can hear it. There may be some things that you may want taken off, or you may want to add some things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll set up another appointment.
Good deal.
And thanks very much.
You bet.